Jesus taught them, as he preached to them. They said that he preached with authority. Now, the word authority is important to us. It means the person has power of doing something. They have meaning or strength. They have the ability to do something. They say they can do it, they do it. Now, why did Jesus have authority? As the author of the Word of God, he has all authority. The people that came to listen to the priest in the synagogue or in the temple when they were in Jerusalem, they heard people speak, but they did not have firsthand knowledge. They were taught by their mentors. So they had secondhand knowledge. They relied on others to give them the information. But the Lord Jesus, being the author of all things, the author of the Word, he had authority. And they'd never heard anybody like that before. Can you believe what he's saying? He teaches with authority. My goodness, we've never heard these things before. How wonderful. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees all had secondhand knowledge. Dear people, the Bible alone is the source of true spiritual wisdom and knowledge. Amen? There's no other book. I don't care what other religion says. There's only one book that has the mind and the heart and the words of God. That's our Bible. That's our Bible. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says, first of all, you should know this. No prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read what I've written because I don't want to mess it up. Our Lord spoke with supreme authority due to the fact that there was no higher authority than himself. Hallelujah. Our Lord spoke with supreme authority due to the fact that there was no higher authority than himself. Dear family, you don't need to apologize for the Bible. Never apologize for the Word of God. It's holy, it's powerful, it's trustworthy. It's the Word of Almighty God. If men want to reject it, sadly, that is between them and our Lord. But we are not going to take away from what God has given us in His Word. We are not going to downgrade it. We're not going to say, well, others are on par with it. No. There's only one divine written authority. It is the Word of God. It will always be that one divine authority. Our Lord's authoritative power was also seen in that He had the power over demonic forces. We see this in verses 33 through 37. You notice that Jesus quieted the demon and cast it out. Now, understand this about demons. Demons know who Jesus is. Demons, when confronted by Jesus, must do what He says. They know that Jesus has all power. Therefore, they must obey. In James 2:19, it says, you believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe and shudder. So the people that work with Satan, the fallen angels, the demons, know who Jesus is, and they shudder at the sight of Him, at the word of Him, at the power of Him. Sadly, they did not yield their hearts to Him. They won't. Why? Because they have yielded their allegiance unto another, Satan himself. Now, I want to bring something here that's not necessarily in the text itself, but I think it needs to be said. When our Lord left heaven and came to earth, our Bibles tell us that He took upon flesh. He did that because He wanted to identify with you and me. He didn't need to be baptized, but He was baptized of John the Baptist. He did that to identify with you and me. And when He was baptized, who came upon Him? The Holy Spirit. In our Lord's humanity, in His humanity, He's God the Son. He's ruler over all. But when He took upon flesh, in His humanity, He did his ministry through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as the Lord Jesus did his power or his ministry through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's why that when people heard him, my goodness, we've never heard it before. When they saw him do miracles, we've never seen this before. He did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think there's an application for us here. If in his humanity our Lord ministered through the power of the Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I, as his followers, need to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit? How much power do you have in yourself? None. Absolutely none. I have none. Our power is in the Holy Spirit who indwells us at salvation. And as we depend upon him, he works through us. He ministers through us to touch the lives of others for Jesus' sake. And so as the Lord Jesus depended upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how much more should we depend upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Also, the Lord Jesus spoke the word of God with authority. Dear people, how much are we paying attention to the word of God in our daily lives? We must be in God's word on a daily basis. God's word is that which corrects us, strengthens us, encourages us, leads us. If we leave this book closed in our lives during the week, there's no way that we can really serve the Lord. You see, the Holy Spirit ministers through his word and is absorbed in our lives. And by faith, we trust him, the Lord Jesus, to live his life through us. Dear family, what place does God's authoritative word have in your life and mine? Well, that's what happened that morning in the day of the Lord Jesus. Well, what happened next? Well, secondly, people enjoyed fellowship with him in a home. In a home. Would you look with me at verses 38 and 39 of Luke 4? Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. The synagogue service being over, they would go to their homes. Now, we don't know if there was going to be a meal for the Lord. I would imagine there was. That doesn't tell us. But whenever they met together, they did have fellowship around a meal. Here's the thing I want us to see. The Lord Jesus enjoyed, deeply enjoyed the home environment. He deeply enjoyed being with families. When you look into the Gospels, you see Jesus in the home. He enjoyed being in the home. It was important to him. We also see from verse 38 that ministry took place in Simon's home. Simon's mother-in-law was very sick. And when it says she had a high fever, who tells us she had a high fever? Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke was a physician. He knew what was going on in this dear woman's life. And so he tells us she is very, very sick with a serious illness. And as they came to Jesus asking for help, what did he do? He ministered to the life of this dear lady. Now, sadly, back in Jesus' day, people thought if you were sick, there was sin in your life. Take, for example, the man born blind in John 9. His disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither this man or his parents sinned, but he was brought this way that glory might be brought to my Father. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that there is sickness apart from active sin in the one who is inflicted. It has nothing to do with demon possession. And out of compassion, and I underline that word, compassion, the Lord Jesus ministered to people who were sick. By the way, compassion for others was one of the hallmarks of the Messiah who was to come. He not only was strong, he not only was powerful, He not only was the one who would fulfill the prophecies of the prophets, he was one who had compassion on the people. And when you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see that he had all compassion. And as the Lord ministered to this dear mother-in-law, it says in verse 39, he rebuked the fever. In other words, he told it to leave. Some who know God's word much better than I use the word muzzled. He muzzled the fever. What happened? She not only was made well, but she got up and served others. She was restored to usefulness. Now, I know we all have our aches and pains, do we not? You don't sound too convinced. We all have our aches and pains. But amen. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. I want us to do something here. Even with all of our aches and pains, and some really don't feel very well, can you and I be thankful tonight for the health that God has given us? Amen. Can we not be thankful tonight? What a wonderful Lord that he's given us health in which to serve him. I think of Amy Carmichael, who ministered for the Lord in India from about 1905 till 1956. The last 38 years of her life, she ministered from her bed. She fell on the campground of her school area there. She took children that were given to the temple priests in India to be temple prostitutes, boys and girls. She rescued them. She brought them into her area. Thousands of precious children were saved from this wretchedness. They became doctors, teachers, lawyers, pastors, traveling evangelists. But for 38 of her last years, she ministered not in bitterness, but she ministered in joy from her bed because of a fall. How thankful we should be tonight for our health. And may we also realize tonight that our homes are not just a place for us to live in. The Lord Jesus ministered in homes. Ministry is supposed to take place in homes. Ministry between husbands and wives, parents and children. Parents and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We bring people in, neighbors or even church family. Ministry should be in the home. God delights in seeing his people do ministry in their homes. And I pray that you and I look forward to the ministries that we do in our homes. But we must hasten on. What happened in the evening on this day we are with the Lord? Would you look at verse 40, please? When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one. Notice that. Laying his hands on each one. He what? He healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, not just speaking, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. On the evening of this day with the Lord, Peter's home became a medical clinic for the community. Remember, he's in an area where there's 14 villages. So there's all kinds of people gathered there. And many of those people were sick. Now, I want you to think with me. Here's the Lord Jesus. He's already been busy all day. Nobody has ever been inconvenienced more than the Lord Jesus. Nobody. He never had a moment's rest. Just when you thought he might get some rest and they might start their travels, somebody comes and they need him. Did he say, "Well, I'm awful sorry. I've got an appointment. Oh, I can't talk to you. I got to go to the dentist." He doesn't do that. He ministers to the people as they come to him. Multitudes now flood the home of Peter and his wife. Can you imagine the utter chaos that must have been outside that home? All these people coming, they're jostling, trying to get in the line. Those who are demon-possessed are screaming at the tops of their lungs. They're writhing down on the ground. It must have been a horrendous place. And yet, when they came inside the home, what happened? They came in and they came into contact with Jesus. It says he touched them. That's why we sang that song tonight. He touched me. The Lord Jesus could have just spoken, and at times he did. But the Lord Jesus was one who loved, who had compassion. And when he spoke, he often touched. He put that personal touch of his healing ministry upon the people. And as he touched them, those who were diseased became whole. Those who were writhing on the ground, screaming from demon possession, are now quiet. They're in their right mind. What an awesome thing that must have been to be there that day with the Lord Jesus. Families having come disorganized, in pain, perhaps not agreeing, now leave Simon Peter's home. They're in peace. They're praising God. Why? Because the one they came to see was Jesus, the Lord of love and the Lord of compassion. Matthew 9:36 says of the Lord Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. 13 times in the Gospels, it's mentioned of Jesus that he had compassion on the people. Do you realize today that when you and I heard of Jesus and we received him into our lives, he had compassion on us? He really did. He had compassion on us. He touched us with his love. He touched us with his grace. Such is the love and compassion for others. Yes, for you and me. Now, let's face it. The unbelieving world outside of these walls does not have a clue of the love, the grace, and the compassion of the Lord Jesus. And it's our privilege to share with them who Jesus is, that they might have his touch upon their lives. In verse 41, we see again the demons are no match for the Lord Jesus. They know he's God. They know he's Christ. Christ means the anointed of God. But they were doing something. The demons were trying to assert control over him by revealing who he was before the Father's time for him to do that. They were trying to take charge of the situation, and Jesus was going to have nothing to do with that. I'm in charge here. You're under my control. Be quiet. Be gone. Whenever he said that, it happened. They were quiet. They were gone. This shows us that he not only is our Savior from sin, the only Savior, but he also is our most wonderful example. Well, now that day has ended, but we need to finish two verses. Would you look with me, please, at verse 42? The house is cleared. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because this is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. People say, how did Jesus do what he did? How could he be so composed? How could he work with these people who were... Can you imagine touching lepers? Can you imagine the stench that came from their soiled bodies? Can you imagine him doing battle with demons? Demons, real, horrible things, indwelling people. And yet there was never anything untoward about Jesus. Always gracious, always loving. Yes, he dealt with the Pharisees strongly because they were pushing the people away from him. Yes, he dealt strongly with the demons. They had to be dealt with strongly. They were of Satan. And you don't mess around with Satan, you deal with him. And he did. But as he met with the people, how could he do that? How could he do it without meals? How could he do it without rest? At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place.
My friends, what did Jesus do? He prayed. He prayed. We see that again and again in the Gospels. He would go away. And it wasn't that he just prayed in the morning and didn't pray the rest of the day. He started his day in worship and prayer with his Father. And as he went through the day, through all of the trials, all of the jaggedness, all of the unkind things, the dealing with demons and sickness, he continued to pray. Prayer was his resource. Though he was the Son of God, he yielded to the will of the Father. My friends, I don't know about you, but it says to me that if I want to live the kind of life that Christ wants me to, first of all, as Paul says, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who is in me. We allow Jesus to live his life through us, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I don't do things. Jesus lives his life through me, through us. He's the one that touches others, not us. And as I go through my day and you go through your day, we need to start today humbly. We need to do what Jesus did. We need to pray. We need to humble ourselves before our Father's Lordship. Many years ago, one of my heroes of the faith, Hudson Taylor, said this. It was in the late 1800s, and I thought this statement that I'm going to read must have been much later in the 1900s, but it wasn't. Hudson Taylor said it in the 1880s, 1890s. I don't know if he coined it or if he heard it, but this is it. Either Christ is Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. Either Christ is Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. The Lord Jesus will never share the leadership of our lives. He doesn't say, Raj, I want you to come along with me and we'll share the leadership. No. Raj, I'm the Lord. I'm in charge. You look to me. I'll give you all that you need. And as you trust me moment by moment, I'm going to make of your life what you never thought it could be. I'm going to fill it with my joy. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you the ability to minister to others. Raj, realize I'm in charge. And when Jesus is in charge, our lives do make sense. And so as you and I begin a new week, know this. Even though Jesus is not physically here today, he is by his Spirit. And today we're with Jesus through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As you wake up tomorrow morning and you go out on your day, you're going to spend a day with Jesus as you allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. And the Holy Spirit will remind you who Jesus is, what he has done, what he wants to do through you, and in all of that, he wants you and me to glorify him. Isn't that wonderful? We can spend the day with Jesus by his indwelling Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you didn't leave us, as Jesus said, as orphans. You gave us someone that would remind us of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And he makes real to us who Jesus is, how he can work in our life, and what he wants to do in our lives. Heavenly Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, may we realize that our lives are to be in your hands. And as we allow you to be Lord of our lives, you most certainly will be with us, even through the thick and the thin of the problems of life. You never leave us, and we give you praise. Thank you, Savior. We pray these things in your name, dear Lord. Amen.